Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Food for Your Soul. I am your host, Evangelist White. Please bow your heads and humble your hearts as we go to the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, O gracious Lord, we come before you as humble as we know how, thanking you for allowing us to see another day and giving us new mercies. God, I ask that I decrease and the Holy Spirit increase in me now. Allow these lips of clay to only speak what you give me to speak. Allow me to release healing and deliverance in the atmosphere in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, have your way. We give you the glory and honor that is due unto your holy name. It is in Jesus' sweet name that we pray. Amen and amen. Good morning, everyone, and happy Valentine's Day to people of all. The topic God gave me is becoming one together and keeping God first. Amen. And what such a great topic to go along with what today is, which is Valentine's Day. We're going to begin our reading. It's going to come from Genesis 2, the 18th. That's Genesis 2nd chapter, starting with the 18th verse. And the Word of God reads, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." God's plan for man was less than ideal and not complete without the woman, the emphasis being on alone. Helpmeet is not a degrading position for a woman. It simply means to aid or supply that which the individual cannot provide for himself. It conveys the idea of ministering to someone in need, such as oppressed. Surely a God-fearing woman meets this needs of her man. Amen, ladies? Meet comes from the Hebrew word meaning opposite. Literally, it is according to the opposite of him, meaning that she will balance and complement him. She is to be equal and adequate to him. Genesis 2, and we're going to go to the 21st verse. And this is about the making of a woman. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof." When God was making woman, he put Adam into a deep sleep and did spiritual and natural surgery on him. In the natural, he removed one of his ribs to make woman. In the spirit, man cannot breathe properly unless he has his other rib close by. The rib has three functions: protection, support, and respiration. The woman is the rib of the man. Her purpose is to lend help to protecting his heart, supporting the vision that God has given him. The respiration is the breathing. She will make his breathing steady, will bring him back to its proper balance, because the wife knows the husband. She has taken the time to get to know his person. And when a woman is subjective that way and tends to the rib, he in return loves and protects her. Amen. Genesis 2 and 22. "And the rib which the Lord God has taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man." Now here is a complete illustration of a loving father presents the bride to the man. Genesis 2 and 23. "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Now here Adam said, now this is my bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Adam was acting of naming his wife reinforces his leadership and authority over her from the beginning of time. Genesis 2 and 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." They shall be one flesh. Here the man leaves his mom and dad in the natural and in the spirit, and he goes out to find his wife, that missing rib. Cleave is a strong verb meaning join or stick together. A man forsakes or abandons his father and mother in order that he may cleave unto his wife and in order that they might become one flesh. If he does not, he cannot cleave, nor can he become one flesh. Are we hearing that, men? If you don't leave your father and mother at a certain age like you should, it is impossible for you to cleave and become one with your wife. The process of becoming one flesh, totally united in life, purpose, and pleasure would then be presented. The woman has something that God has placed in her. When God created the woman, he made her so that man will definitely realize she has something valuable. Now, in the flesh, it is something that you want, but in the spirit, you realize it's something that you need. There is a greater appreciation for something you need rather than something you want. And the respect is when the man realizes in the spirit that the woman, he realizes the woman's true worth is a gift from God. It is vital that men and women of God connect with the right person. It is important for the man so that he can breathe correctly, but it is just as important for the woman to have the proper covering. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 and 22, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor from the Lord." But who's to say what you found is a wife? Were you in the natural of what you wanted? Or did you look in the spirit of what you needed? Now, the second part of this topic is God gave me was keeping God first. So we're becoming one together, and we explained that from the beginning of time, how God created man and woman and Adam and Eve, and from the very beginning how everything functions and how he did it. But how do we keep God first even when we become one? It's one thing to have a relationship with God as an individual, but how do we do it when we are supposed to come together as one? It is so important to stay one. You have to keep God first. It's easy to slip into self, especially in how we think and how we see. You have to understand the concept and power of one. It is impossible to do without God. God himself is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and they are one. Being one means dying to self daily. To become one in anything, you have to deny yourself. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. "There is one body, one spirit, even as ye are all called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." On today, I have a special treat. I have my very own man of God, Elder White, going to be joining us. Hello, Elder White.
Praise the Lord.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing blessed.
Amen. So I just finished what God gave me the topic, which was becoming one together and keeping God first. That sometimes I can tell is kind of hard for couples to do, but I wanted you to kind of give us your thoughts of how God is ministering to you in that area about becoming one together, maybe doing a little bit of a breakdown about that becoming one.
Okay, first let me say it's an honor to be on your broadcast this morning.
Amen.
And happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you, baby. You too.
Amen, and I'm glad to be here, and to everyone that's tuning in, thank you for tuning in this morning. You know, becoming one really requires the love of God. You know, when I heard you speak and what I was getting from what you were saying, it is important that we understand that it is the love of God that compels us to want to be one, because one is really a concept. It is a way of thinking. It is a way of perceiving things that you can only get from the love of God, because it requires you to die to yourself or to die to your flesh. And really, you hit on it on last week when you was talking about charity, or when you was talking about love. In 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter, I believe, when it talks about how love is patient and love is kind, and it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, and it doesn't dishonor others, and it is not self-seeking. it is not easily angered. You know, in order to do that, you have to first be dead to the individual or be dead to yourself.
Yes.
It always requires, in loving anybody, you know, it requires you to think outside of yourself and to appreciate the other. And when you was talking about woman and how God said it was not good for man to be alone, it takes man to really appreciate. But he can't appreciate the woman if he does not have a relationship with God.
And, you know, Elder, I'm so glad that you pointed that out, because that is key, right? It is key for a man to have a relationship with God to truly appreciate the woman, because many women are looking for their husband, their man, to love them the way Christ intended. But if you don't have a relationship, the man himself, with God, it is impossible for him to truly appreciate her and love her that way, right?
Absolutely. And vice versa for the woman. In order for the woman to really appreciate the man as being her head, one that is required to really seek God. You understand? Because the Bible says, you know, for husbands, love your wives, as Christ has loved the church. So love then becomes, again, the catalyst that kind of wants us to kind of merge together and become one. It is how we acknowledge together our relationship and appreciation for God. So it is my appreciation for God that God then allows me to appreciate his creation and appreciate the woman that he has blessed me with, because it was him that said that it was not good for man to be alone. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's in Romans in the 8th chapter that it talks about how all things work together for the good to them who love God and they who are called according to what? His purpose.
Okay.
So it is the love of God and the fact that God had loved us so much that he gave his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But we also operate in this love that wants us to really come together. And you know the danger of this, Evangelist White?
What is it?
Is that when we don't have the love of God, that means that, and we must acknowledge this love daily.
Yes.
Because our individual flesh wants to always rise up. And if you're not prayed up, if you're not acknowledging God every day and getting your daily bread, then it is easy to become an individual. It is easy to apply your thoughts, and sometimes it requires us to subdue that, to bring that under the knowledge of who God is, to really think about our mate outside of ourselves. And it not being important for us to always be right. It takes a lot, you know.
Like, you know, Elder, let me ask you a question. I have a lot of women that I minister to, and one of the areas that they tell me sometimes that is hard is family, mom and dad knowing their role and their position, and then children knowing when to, you know, and not so much as when to let go, but oftentimes, becoming one means that, you know, I mean, give the complete, you know, the definition. God gave it to me in Genesis, how he broke it down, how he created man and how he created woman out of man and you know, us being the rib. But how is it that a man is supposed to, you know, a man and woman, how do we stand and still become one when, you know, you're coming against sometime family or, you know, sometimes the children, you know, how, you know, kids young and old kind of try to play that, you know, try to play y'all apart from each other and so forth. How do you still maintain being strong even in that, those kind of situations?
Well, it starts with us individually realizing who we are in God. And you have to understand is that, you know, you have a spiritual maturity that is not in everybody the way it is in you.
Amen.
And sometimes it, you know, but when it comes to the husband and wife, we are supposed to be one flesh, which makes that, when it comes to human relationships, it makes that the most important relationship. So when we're thinking about one as husband and wife, you know, it's like your flesh is my flesh, you know. My flesh is not one with my parents. It's not one with my children, even though I love my children. But when it comes to the concept of one, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I can't separate myself from myself.
Yes.
So the wife is to
Elder,
be...
Hold on a second. That's a real good... So, you know, you can't separate yourself from self. And I want parents and children to understand this. It's not that, you know, dad or even mom does not love and respect and even can take advice. It's just that this is the way God, right? It's not a decision, a choice that we made. It's how God intended for it to be, right? There should be never a time when we should put mama or daddy in front of husband or wife, or we should put children in front of husband and wife. We are one, so we always, you know, should walk in oneness, right?
Exactly. And again, becoming one or being one is a mindset. It's a mindset that you get from the love of God, but it also gives us an understanding of how God in his perfect order, you know, has ordained things to be. You know, you have women sometimes or wives that have a problem with submitting to the husband because of the head and all that gets confused, but it's the way God has ordained it and designed it to be.
And Elder, let me ask you a question about that. I do have a lot of women who argue with that or even try to tell me this is a, you know, we're living in a new day and time where, you know, but God's word is still the same today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Am I right? So the submission part, why are women so not wanting to be submissive to their husbands?
Well, first, let me say this because it is Valentine's Day, and I want to make sure that I give the correct homage to the woman, because her purpose is not an easy one, because she is subject to her husband and likewise is subjection to God.
Yes.
And it is not easy to be with a husband that may not really understand that concept, but she does. And the Bible talks about that. It talks about the chaste communication of the woman being able to win over the unsaved husband. Not only the unsaved husband, but sometimes those husbands who are saved but not where they need to be.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes your relationship and God has to be the thing that carries it, because somebody has to, in that marriage, understand the validity and how powerful the relationship to God really is.
Yes.
And when you have someone in there working that really acknowledges that, sometimes it is in what you do for God that causes that other person to come over and really to understand. I don't know if that answers the question.
It does. And that was a good breakthrough a breakdown of explaining it too, just about, you know, how we, you know, whether they saved or unsaved. Let me ask you a question, Mom. One of the things that I was reading was about, you know, woman being from the man's rib and his breathing. How important is that the man is connected to the right woman?
Oh, it's very important, because the woman is to the man a helpmeet. You know, and if you ain't connected to the right helpmeet, she can be a hellmeet.
That's really,
you know,
good.
and it could be a whole lot of issues going there. And what God has joined together, you understand, let no man put asunder. It's just something about when you have that which God has ordained to be. And when it fits and when it works, it just causes things to work a little bit smoother. You know, anger, the Bible says, resteth in the bosom of fools. But, you know, when you're angry, it means that you're breathing hard. And whenever you're breathing hard, or whenever there's an interrupting to your breathing, it is the need to be able to come back down to a perfect type of breathing. You got to bring that under control.
Yes.
And what a good wife, see, the Bible says, a man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. If she's truly a good thing, then when she knows her husband, she is able to comfort and bring him to a place, because she knows him, and her desire is not to push his button is not to make him go to a place where he doesn't need to go, but is to bring him back, because you realize that I'm his help, and I need to bring him back to a place where he can breathe comfortably. So you help me with that. And then from breath, you see, when God formed man, what did he do? He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so therefore she is a helper for me to be able to stay focused on God. See, a good woman will keep her man focused on God, because that is his role, his duty. His duty is to make sure that he is receiving from God so that the blessings can flow down. And she understands that.
That's good. Let me ask you, Elder, you know, we get, you know, criticized and sometimes shunned and ridiculed in the house of God when divorces happen. And oftentimes people are not understanding this very thing, becoming one together. Sometimes we have married with our natural eye because of something we want, and we did not check in with God or in our spirit man to see if they not only have what we wanted but needed. What do you say about that? You know, because I know sometimes we speak, you know, around certain things, and, you know, is that why sometimes, you know, especially in the house of God, there has been many divorces, because people, you know, man can't breathe as properly as he needs to, and woman is not being covered like God intended for her to be. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, wow. Because we are products of that same thing, I'm very cautious and sensitive to how I address divorce matters or divorce issues. They do happen, and I do believe that they happen for various reasons. I do believe that it is not God's will. I don't believe that God honors, or he truly wants divorce. But yes, I believe that sometimes these things happen for various reasons. It has to deal with a lot of times maturity. It has to do a lot of times with things not being right and relations together. But all I will say about that, it is something that you really need to take to God before you go down that route. You really need to know that this is a area or a place where God has designed you to be. You know, even if, you know, because the Bible does let us know that when it comes to adultery, that, you know, that is something in which, you know, God does, you know, where you can give a letter of writing or divorce for that when it comes to adultery. And, you know, but when you look at that in the spirit, there is so many violations of spiritual adultery that I truly believe that violates so much that makes it hard to come back from.
Yeah.
And I would just say, in every case, in every situation, you just have to be prayed up. You have to make sure that your reasons is not for natural reasons or for things of the flesh, or
right,
you know,
lust,
lusting or things within that nature. And I'm going to just leave that there, because I didn't know that we was going to go there with
Amen.
That question.
It was just one of those things that, you know, you know, oftentimes, and, you know, I just noticed that we, you know, especially if men and women of God, we speak about things, but we speak around things. And I know that I am a real person, and I know people sometimes want to hear realness. And not so much is what you would do, but just kind of sometimes maybe giving them direction. So I hope even in that what you spoke about would kind of help them. But getting back to the
Can I add one thing on that? Because it was something that T.D. Jakes had, I heard him speak on one time, and I really had to ponder on it. But, you know, a lot of times when we talk about being unequally yoked with unbelievers, a lot of times we only apply that, you know, really to those who are not of the faith, those who are not of the household of faith. And he brought up a real good illustration with that, and he said that. But that means then what we're saying is that everybody that is at the household of faith can actually marry.
Mm.
And you can't marry everybody in the household of faith, because we are different. So, you know, when it comes down to being unequally yoked, sometimes we are unequally yoked also amongst believers. Mm-hmm. You know, that some of us, you know, the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree?
That's right.
And even in a household of faith, you know, we have those who we can, you know, who we can walk agreeably with, and then we have those who we can't, but we are still of the household faith. That's why you have denominations. That's why you have so much different things that, you know, God requires us to have, you know, to be able to reach certain people.
Okay. Amen. And again, I, you know, that was just one of those things that I wanted to get out there, because, I mean, I know I have listeners that are married, divorced, remarried, you know, and just getting that understanding and so forth about becoming one together. And, you know, the episode is not so long where we can really go so depth in it, but I just wanted to hit those areas. The other thing that I wanted to do was the part two of that was, it was becoming one together while keeping God first. And can, you know, what are your thoughts about that, about keeping God first?
Well, that's something that each and every one of us should do anyway. It's so important that we keep God first, because, again, like I talked about earlier, it's so easy for us to become an individual and then for us to kind of move in our own thoughts and in our own ways. And sometimes we can think we are right and we are so far from it.
Mm.
So when we put God first, that means that He is in control of our thought life. That means that, I'm thinking about 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, when it talks about the weapons of our warfare not being carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and imaginations and high things and those thoughts that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You understand? And you have to bring those thoughts subject to the Word of God. And we have to die daily in this walk, because it's so easy to slip in. Remember Eve.
Yes.
You see, you know, when was the devil able to really slip in there and have conversation with her? It was when she was alone, when she was not with her husband. The devil really wants to slip in there. He's looking for a place to slip in there and sow discord among the brothers. And sometimes he sows discord individually within our thoughts.
Yes.
You know, he got Eve to consider things that she should not have and question things that she should not have.
She even
had a conversation.
Things.
Exactly.
Yes.
She should not have even had a conversation with. And so it is so important that we keep God first, so that when the devil, who is also a spirit, tries to sow discord within our thoughts and tries to get in there, we can easily subdue him and bring him subject to the Word of God.
That's really, really good, Elder. That is so good. I so appreciate you taking the time. Did you have anything else that you wanted to share?
I'm just glad and honored that you would have me on.
But of course, I do know that I have a man of God, and I have a right covering, a proper covering.
Praise the Lord.
I do want to ask you this before you go. Elder White, how is your breathing?
Oh, I'm breathing just fine. No indigestion.
Amen. Thank you so much for coming on, my brother, and
praise
you be blessed.
You too. God bless you all.
Amen. I thank you all for tuning in to Food for Your Soul. I am your host, Evangelist White. I pray that the word that God has given me today shed some type of light, even cause you to go a little bit more deeper in your word with God. I pray that we go back to the basics. Women, we have to really get this thing about what headship truly is and being submissive to our husbands. And men, you all have to go before God and do what you need to do. I try to be very careful in how I minister that area, because I perfect in the woman's area as far as us being submissive. And it is right in the eyes of God to be. Don't allow the devil to make you have thoughts where you don't have to submit. And it's we in 2015, and it's men and women. And you know, let's not do that. Let's keep focused on what the Bible says. And we know that what God's word says is the right thing to do. So I pray that you all will continue to have a blessed day on today. I thank you for tuning in with me this morning. And if God says the same, I'll see you same time next week. You all be blessed. And if nobody else tells you, God loves you, and so do I. This is Evangelist White signing out. God bless.